Good morning, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show. It's time for you to be heard. The talk show welcomes everyone's calls once per hour. Dial 928-1350 and tell Northeastern Connecticut your story.
Good morning, Northeastern Connecticut, and welcome to the WINY Talk Show on this 22nd day of July, Wednesday. Good morning, everybody. Dave Ward here with you through 11 a.m. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us here on the show, a popular topic that we've been discussing over the past several weeks. We ask the governor about it and other state elected officials on a regular basis. What does back to school look like? And the plans are due to the state by the 24th, by the end of this week. Some school districts right here in our area already have plans put together and have been shared with students and families here in Northeastern Connecticut. And one of those schools is the Woodstock Academy. Joining us on the line this morning is head of school Chris Sanford and associate head of school Holly Singleton. Good morning to both of you, and thanks for coming back on the show.
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Hey, Holly, how are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
It is nice to have both of you here. And I know that there's been a lot of work and a lot of thought put into the plan that you shared earlier this week or last week. It's with very recent. But let me start off by asking both of you how you feel about this. Because as a parent, and as a parent of a incoming sophomore at the academy, there's nothing more that I would like to see than to have my sophomore back at school. She likes being there. She gets a lot out of it. She struggled a little bit with the online, not for anybody's fault, but it was a change for her, and she struggled a little bit with it. And as a parent, I struggle a little bit with it. I'd like to see her get back to school, but I also want her to be safe and healthy. So how have the two of you approached this? What are your feelings about the plans moving forward in just a few weeks? Chris?
I'm probably going to get several calls after this interview, maybe. I think it's totally impossible to do. What the guidelines that the state has established almost make it impossible for us to return. The expectations placed on whether it be the students, the staff, the administration, the custodians, it doesn't matter what category you pick, bus drivers, it is almost impossible to meet the expectations. And it seems to me, from as a school leader, that we're all spinning our wheels and completely wasting our time and focusing on the wrong stuff, developing these plans that are not going to work, that are too expensive, that no one has any money to do. And we're missing the boat on actually developing plans in the world of education that will actually impact students, such as how to improve online learning, such as how do you deal with the social emotional component of a student when you're not in school, such as how do you deal with athletics and what that looks like if you're remote. All those things that are crucial to the school system or any school, we are not spending any time on, Dave, because we're focusing on plexiglass and what hallways to use. Because as you know, in any school, there's only about 5 to 6 people working during the summer, and we're wasting our time focusing on something that's not even remotely possible to do unless there's lots of funding, and which isn't coming. I mean, there's no money to give the school, so I don't know where this is all coming from.
So, Chris, is your concern that there's a big investment and a high risk that you're going to have to pull the plug on it pretty quick?
Yeah, and why? I mean, I'll give you one example while we're talking, Dave, of the specificity of the plan of what the state put out. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but I'll give you one.
Yeah, example. I have, but yeah, I'd like to hear it from you.
Sure, just from our. So for the last 5 years, we have worked diligently, and we have a bunch of initiatives. One of them is, you know, to try to use less paper, less plastic, etc. So we have to reinvest in paper towel dispensers. So in the plan for you to open, a school can no, and this is a requirement, it's not an option. There's, in the plan, you can see there's things that are required, and then there's optional, and there's other things. You cannot have any hand dryers that blow hot air. So we then, which was what we did, invested in the last 5 years. We removed paper towel dispensers and put in air blowers because it's environmentally sound. I mean, there's so many positive components of it. So now we have to shut them all off and go out and buy paper towel dispensers for all of our bathrooms for 1,200 high school students and adults in the adult bathrooms. If hot air coming out of a dispenser in the bathroom is going to be what passes COVID from one person to another, which, and I know it does based on science and the stuff that we're hearing, and it must because it's in the report, then why are we going back to school? It doesn't make any sense to me. And that investment of money to change all those things out, if I'm only going to use them for 1 week, then what? So why are we going to invest all this money when we're all going to know if we go back, we're not going, we're going to be out by October?
So you've had to.
Frustrating.
I can hear it, and I think as a parent, I understand that frustration too. We're all facing these new challenges and trying to figure out where the level of risk is. Holly, let me ask you. You've been working on this with Chris and the staff. Where are you at?
Well, I'm like water. I'm just filling in the cracks as we go.
Mm-hmm.
So at the very beginning of the summer, I worked with a task force, and we spent weeks on coming up with a blended learning model and some changes suggested for e-learning. And then we think we're in a good shape, but then we have to come up with a plan for full opening. So then we spend all this time for full opening. But, you know, I'm also with Chris in that we can make these plans and we can have the best, well-thought-out organization of the school going forward. But the biggest concern is that we cannot guarantee that the kids are going to be 100% safe. So I'm a parent. You know, I have two seniors that will be graduating this year. I think, you know, I'm heartbroken thinking, oh my gosh, they might not step in that school for very long for a senior year and have those experiences that you want them to have. But then, you know, on the other end, is it safe to send them in? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an expert. I keep reading what is in the paper and what the scientific journals are putting out, but then they keep changing, you know, so... Like I said, I'm water. I'm just kind of going where, today, this is what I'm going to work on.
It is a moving target.
And then I go to this one and work on that.
Yeah. Just give you an example of what we heard yesterday. So yesterday there was a call with the local health district, and they're struggling just like everyone else to try to keep up with the information that's coming out because it's always changing. And the rule is if someone goes to the nurse's office and they have any symptom of COVID, the nurses or the school have to determine and expect that it is COVID automatically, right? You err on the side of caution, which everyone should do. That student or the adult has to go home and for at least 10 days, or they can get a test, which may take 10 days to get the results back, as we're all mm-hmm. hearing, before they can come back. So with any school, the height of the flu season is terrible. The other height that's really bad is the first week back because everyone's back in a confined space again. So it is possible that we come back at the academy or any school in the region, and by the first week, you're going to have 200 people home, teachers and students. And you can't have any substitutes coming to your building because you're not allowed to have any visitors. So where am I going to get, hypothetically, if there's 20 teachers that cough or sneeze or have a headache or have a tummy ache, all those symptoms of what COVID could be, where am I going to get 20 to 25 adults to come to a school with teenagers and sub? I don't. The practicality of it doesn't work, and that's the frustration. So I guess if we're going to go back, let's just go back. But if you're going to put these constraints on, which the constraints are valid, I don't want people to think that that the constraints aren't valid. They are, but then we can't go back.
Right.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. We're in a tough spot making this decision. I think from every aspect, you as an administrator, or me as a parent, or an educator, or like you mentioned earlier, a janitor. Everybody has considerations that they're thinking about, whether it's their own health or the health of their loved ones that are at home that they may come home to. Those are all factors. I'm trying to look for a positive, and I want to give the two of you kudos, because when the Academy family went to online learning, you were ready. You were ready with plans, and they kicked off smooth and stayed that way, at least from my little microcosm. So I thank you for that planning. And I bring that up because I know that a lot of thought went into that. As much thought, if not more, is going into your plan to reopen school in the fall. And there are lots of questions that come with that. And so I'd love to dive into that with the two of you, because things are still moving forward regardless, Chris, right? This is the plan, right?
Yep. Well, that's the plan that we're being told. I have a different opinion, and I'm waiting until I get back from vacation to make it.
Okay.
And I have no problem making a charge in one direction where I think it puts my students and staff in a safe place and take the consequences that come.
So there's potential that you could make a decision other than what's currently on the table.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be blunt about it. You could make a call as more things develop and you learn more and get educated more on where we're at COVID-19 wise and say, you know what, we're going to stick with online learning. Nobody's coming back to campus.
Yes.
Okay. Let me take a break. Let's take a break, because I do want to get into the plan as it currently exists. I know that you've put a lot of thought into it. Parents are anxious to learn a little bit more about it. So let's take a break. And when we come back, I'd like you to take us through a typical student's day under this new plan. But we'll come back. We'll get right back to this conversation. Please, all of you, stay tuned. Back with more of the talk show coming up next.
For 50 years, there has been a local organization that puts heart and soul into its work. Hi, I'm Angie Vaillant-Gendro from Maculitis Rehabilitation and Skilled Care in Putnam. If you require rehab after a hospitalization or surgery, we will care for your physical needs while attending to the whole person. Our holistic approach and special expertise in spiritual care for people of all backgrounds is what sets us apart from other rehab centers and nursing homes in the area. Patients are likely to recover better and thrive more quickly when they feel like human beings and not just a knee or a hip problem. Perhaps you need a place for mom or dad while you're on vacation, or you need to consider 24-hour or end-of-life care. We can help. If you have surgery already scheduled, talk to us. You can tour our rehab wing featuring mostly private rooms with your own shower and bathroom, and you can meet our compassionate, competent, and dedicated staff. Call us at 860-928-7976 and see us online at matulitisnh.org. Come see where good conquers.
The WINY microphones are heading to UNFI. This Saturday morning, we'll broadcast live from the job fair at UNFI Dayville. Stop by from 10 to 3 and learn about the career opportunities at UNFI, leaders in food distribution. UNFI is hiring warehouse order selectors for multiple shifts. Positions start at $15 per hour, are eligible for incentive pay, and a $1,750 sign-on bonus. For more information, visit unfi.com/careers. Discover what's next at UNFI. Learn skills that can take you anywhere. Don't miss this Saturday's job fair from 10 to 3 at UNFI, 260 Lake Road, Dayville, an equal opportunity employer.
Shopping for a new or used car or truck? Welcome to Express Car Buying from CargillChev.com. In our Express store, you can search from over 400 vehicles in our inventory or configure your dream car and we'll find it for you. Get our best pricing up front without all the hassles. Select payment options like cash, financing, or lease transactions. Get an instant cash offer for your trade-in. And there's no need to visit the dealership with our free two-day test drives and home delivery. You can even research and select recommended service and protection plans. Have a question along the way? No problem. Call, text, or email our concierge and they'll guide you every step of the way. Complete the entire transaction from the comfort of home in a matter of minutes. Pick up your vehicle at the dealership or have it delivered to your doorstep. Either way, the choice is yours. With our express delivery, your car will be prepped and ready to go in and out in less than 30 minutes. That's it. It's that easy. Instant pricing and express checkout. Enjoy express car buying from CargillChev.com, the two-day test drive dealer at the end of your driveway.
Nothing beats a Cargill deal. Boston Red Sox baseball is back on WINY 1350 AM and 97.1 FM. The Sox will begin their pandemic-delayed season this weekend with a three-game series at Fenway against Baltimore. And WINY will carry all the action live Saturday and Sunday with first pitch both afternoons at 1:35. Red Sox baseball on WINY is powered by Foscat Equipment, Girardi Insurance Services, Vandy Auto Supply, The Burns Agency, and Christopher Heights Assisted Living.
Do you know a great kid that could use a backpack stuffed with school supplies? If yes, then you don't want to miss the Wireless Owned Backpack Giveaway on Sunday, July 26th, starting at 1 p.m. Your locally owned Wireless Owned, authorized Verizon Wireless retailer will be giving away thousands of backpacks to children who need them. First come, first serve, and with a giveaway this great, supplies won't last long. There's no catch. Wireless Owned just loves to give away to their community. To learn more, call your local Wireless Owned or visit WirelessZone.com.
Do you have something to say? Pick up the phone and dial the WINY Talk Show now. 928-1350 is the number to call. Our telephone lines are open. 928-1350.
Welcome back to the Talk Show. It is 923, and joining us on the phone this morning, Chris Sanford, head of school for the Woodstock Academy, and Holly Singleton, associate head of school for the Woodstock Academy, are on the line with us this morning as we talk about what back to school looks like. And Chris, I really do appreciate your candor that you may make a decision before school starts that this is not the right way to go to bring students back. And you talked about whatever those consequences may be. Have you given some thought to what those consequences would be for the Academy?
Yes and no. I know that there are some other districts. I know the Hampden, as an example, voted, their Board of Education voted to go back to school only 4 days a week. And then they received a letter from the state letting them, informing them that they had to go back full-time, 5 days a week. We received a pretty direct and blunt email yesterday. An email that I get, I forward to the entire staff because I want to, at least at the Academy, let them know. The craziness is probably the wrong word, but it is maybe the right word to use, that exists out there. And it was pretty blunt yesterday that we had to go back 5 days. The stick that everyone uses is financial, right? That, you know, we are not going to fund your or school, and we can pull back ECS funding. We don't get any of that. So I don't know what the stick would be. But if it's made for the right reasons, if it's made for the health and safety of your students and your staff, it's just a tough argument to argue against.
So with that said, you still have to put together a plan that has to be submitted to the state for their review. You've worked hard on it.
No, Dave, just interrupt you. And yeah. Holly's going to give you there's no review. You're getting no feedback. No one at the state is reading it. It was in the email. But you have to submit the report. They check a box that you submitted it.
That's it.
You're getting no feedback from them. You're getting nothing back from the state. That was in an email, and it has to be in 11 font. They want it in 11 font. There's nothing. You're not getting any. There's no feedback. So you just have to submit it.
Wow. So is that just a cover your rear end sort of thing on the state's part?
No idea. But that was, you know, that's what they told us in an email that we did. Oh, they wanted okay. to submit. No one's going to read it.
Okay.
Well, maybe someone's reading it, but they're not. We got a feedback. We submitted ours, Dave, and we got an email back saying, "Thank you, it's been accepted."
Okay. Well, let's go through it, because no matter what, we've got a few weeks to go. A lot can change. We know things change sometimes by the hour, with statistics or new information from scientists and from our leaders. So let's go through your plan so that parents have an idea on the work that you've put into it. Holly, can you take us through a typical student's day in this new world when they get on the bus? They're on the sidewalk in front of the house, let's say, the bus pulls up. What's the first thing that's different for them?
Well, I'm going to stop you there because we do not do any of the transportation. That's with the sending towns.
Okay, but that's an interesting point, that responsibility is on the sending towns for how they handle busing.
Yeah, there is a clear bus protocol. you, you know, depending on the condition of COVID in the area, we are in kind of like the green light go. The state of Connecticut has done a very good job of putting us in a place where we are have minimal COVID in the area. So in the guide from the state, that means that you can fill the bus all the way up. You still need to clean in between runs, and students should be wearing masks on the bus. So, you know.
Okay.
I'm assuming that's what the sending towns are going to do because that's what the state plan requires us to do.
Okay.
We are anticipating more students wanting to drive themselves, so we will be increasing the number of parking places that we have for juniors and seniors. Normally we extend the privilege of driving to seniors first and then juniors if we have space, but we are prepared to offer more parking places. Our arrival process to campus might have to be staggered depending on the number of parents that are also driving their kids to school. So if we do have an overrun of drop-off people, we will set up some time so they would come in alphabetically just so that we have fewer crowds.
Yeah, everybody tends to have that crush at the same time of dropping kids off.
Yeah. When students arrive on campus, obviously campus is a full masks on process. If you are outside and you are 6 feet away from people, we are encouraging, you know, that's the time that you could take off your mask and have a mask break. But if you are outside and talking to your friends and you are within 6 feet, we are encouraging that the mask be worn at all times then. When students progress into the buildings, there are one-way entrances, one-way exits, one-way hallways, cleaning stations as you come into the building, cleaning station as you come into the classroom. The teacher would do some supervising of the cleaning of your workspace. So wash your hands, get a wipe, wipe your desk, wipe your chair, wipe all your touch areas, and then have class. we've increased the time between class to 20 minutes so we can have staggered release time. So, you know, a third of the school will leave at the first bell, a third of the school will leave at the second bell, a third of the school will leave at the third bell. Everyone will be outside, and then we will have about 10, 12 minutes to reload everyone back into their new building. And then start to wash your hands when you come in the building. The whole process all over again.
So there's going to be a lot more procedure in between.
Lots of procedure. And while if we were opening tomorrow, I would be very optimistic that we would be able to be successful at it because of the conditions of COVID in our area. And also, we have fantastic professional employees, and we have great kids. And I also think there is a big motivation of teenagers to have the opportunity to go to school. I mean, they love their parents. My kids love their parents. At least I hope they still do. But they would be interested in, you know, having some more face-to-face time with other people besides myself. So I do feel that if we, you know, kids understand that these are the things you have to do so that we can stay together. And I would be optimistic that they would be compliant with it.
Yeah, I think so, too. So we get through the first block or two of the day, then comes to lunchtime. What does lunchtime look like at the academy?
Yeah, so lunchtime will be in the classrooms, and we're encouraging all the teachers to, on their scheduled lunch break, to take the kids outside and eat so that, again, there is, if you're taking your mask off, you can spread out, and you would need to still stay with your cohort. You know, cohorting in high school is very hard. But you essentially, your cohorts are going to be your four groups. Flick, who is our service provider, has come up with this great process. So we will have an online ordering app. You'll complete your lunch order by a certain time, and your meals will actually be delivered to the classroom. And we are, though, encouraging kids, if they can, to bring their food from home, because obviously that's just the safest process.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there are, the Academy offers a variety of great classes outside the course, core classes, like chorus, for instance. we've had a lot of discussion here on the show.
The hardest one to figure out.
Is it? Okay. Well, I'm glad I'm bringing that up as an example then. Because, you know, when we talked about, even in April.
Softball, Dave.
I didn't mean to, but it's actually at the forefront of what's going on at my house. And when we talked about going back to places of worship, and there were lots of conversations about, well, we're not going to have any singing because that's going to spread the virus even faster and further. How do you address those special things that the kids look forward to for taking at the academy?
Well, our approach is to figure out how to do it without just saying no, because they are very important to our school identity and to the students themselves. So there's been a lot of research by music professionals and the professional organizations about how to do it safely. The CDC says you need twice as much feet space between you and people that are singing or playing wind instruments. So we have done some research. We've found some masks that are designed specifically for singing. They have kind of a little bit more of a pocket so that the mask is not up against your lips so much, and so therefore there's less mask movement, but it has a nice pocket to capture all of your spit germs or whatever. We are looking for instruments. They have different covers that you can put over the bells to keep the juices in, I will say. They have some guidelines about, you know, spit valves and not releasing spit, and we are trying to work on all of those things, thinking about how we can also spread out students. And we have been looking for, can we find some tents that we can put out that those students could also use as a way to be together as a group.
Oh, so we're really getting creative on some of these items, because we have to.
We are being crazy out of the box, but we are
and at the same time, Dave, Holly's right. We haven't spent a dime to buy anything because it's a waste of time. So how, you know, we're going to go out and buy and rent all these tents, let's say, and either we're not going in because someone's going to make a decision, and maybe the government makes a decision in August, or we're only in for 1 week and then we're out again. Because then if you're out, I don't see how you're coming back. So why would we go and spend all this money? I mean, New Haven reported it's going to cost them around $14 million to meet all the requirements that are required in this to open based on the guidelines. You know, ours is about $800,000 to meet all the requirements. Where's all this money coming from, Dave? It's just frustrating as a school leader because it's like it feels like we're spinning our wheels and focusing, like I said, not on the right stuff. I mean, Holly and her team have done a great job, and what she went through is really what the day looks like. Is that the best option for kids? You know, if that's what the day looks like as she went through, is that still the best option that we can provide for high school students to learn? Or is there a better option out there? And I think that's where the conversation is being lost. I don't know. I'm just speaking out loud. It's just frustrating.
And I can hear it, Chris, in your voice. What is the best option? It's online learning, I assume, is where you're going to go. What would you do differently in the fall versus what you did in the spring? How do you adapt and move that forward?
I think there's a couple things we'd have to focus on. I think you know we'd create different teams to look at certain things, but we're not doing any of that now because we're not focusing on that. Like the social emotional health of students, social emotional health of students was a big thing, and we heard a lot about that. We talked about that when we were on the show last time,
right?
There are, now that people have been doing it for a while across the country, there are a lot of programs and examples where it is working. So getting teachers together, getting the social worker, the school psychologist, you know, some members of the administrative team to sit around and have a conversation over what that looks like and how we can build that, you need time to do it. We're not spending it. There's no time to do any of that because we're spending time counting how many pieces of plexiglass we need and where it's going to go and, you know what the flow pattern is going to be. I mean, it took Holly a day and a half just to figure out the flow of the hallways. I mean, that time was, in my mind, I don't want to say wasted, but it could have been used more effectively to actually have an impact on kids. So, I'm like everyone else. We want to get the kids back. I think it's important they come back to school. So, but you can't do it under the guidelines that are being provided unless there's significant funding that pays for it, that gets that burden of the pay off our backs, and we develop a plan and we go for it. It's tough to go for if you're. I'll give you another example, not to harp, Dave, but every toilet now has to have a seat, right? Toilet seat, but also has to have a cover. Most high schools do not have a cover. They just have the seat on the toilet.
Right.
But now you have to change all of the toilets to have a seat and a cover on it. So visualize that expense for a school district, especially a high school or any district, any level, to change all the toilets' seats. I mean, it sounds ridiculous that we're having this conversation on the radio, but that's a requirement that we have to do. And it should be done. I'm not opposed to that. But where is that coming from? It seems hypocritical, Dave, to me, that 6 months ago, or even most recently, the governors were all complaining that the president was, federal government, president, whoever, was pushing out all the stuff to testing and all these requirements down to the states, and there was no national plan. Remember that conversation?
Yes.
And now we're sitting here doing the exact same thing for schools. And we, as a school, are being pushed from above. This is what you have to accomplish. I have to buy PPE. I have to buy masks. I have to buy paper towel dispensers. I have to buy plexiglass. No one is doing that for us. So,
if it was paid for, Chris, let's say the expenses were covered, which I know is I'm living in another planet on that one. I get it, but hypothetically, if those expenses were covered, would you still feel comfortable bringing the kids back to school under your plan?
I would feel more comfortable because I know that we'd have everything we would need to make it work. I can't guarantee, you can't find wipes. I mean, has anyone ever tried to buy wipes? Has anyone seen them recently?
Yeah, no.
So, but I'm supposed to buy them to wipe down all the desks. So if I'm guaranteed that I'm getting everything, or that we should say we're guaranteed that we're getting everything for the opening of school. If everything was delivered to us and we were ready to go, would I feel 100% comfortable? No. I would feel a lot more comfortable knowing that I had all the pieces in place. I don't feel comfortable today that sitting here when it is almost August 1st. Dave, yesterday we received an email from the state that said, Holly, I sent it to the staff, and Holly, you know what I'm talking about. Air quality is a huge issue in the schools. I know you're up against a break in a few minutes, but air quality is a huge issue in school, and it always has been. Right, and in the report, it talks about all these changes that schools have to make to their air quality and their filters and the HEPA and which rooms you can use because they have to have windows and not have windows. It's all in the report. We received an email yesterday as superintendents from the state saying that here are we have all these things planned for you. We have thing on filters, and we have this presentation done on this and a presentation done on that, all around air quality. And at the bottom, it says in the next week or two, you will get notification of when these meetings are. Week or two. It is currently July 22nd. In a week or two, now we're in the first week of August. That means everyone in the state on the second week of August is going to be trying to contact the guy in charge of filters. Like, no one knows what filter they're talking about. Like, how can they send out an email saying in a week or two we're going to have a Zoom meeting with the Department of Health over your filters? I got to have that now.
Really, you should have had it weeks ago, if not.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, of course, I get these emails and I keep sending them out to the faculty and the staff to let them know this is the reality that we're in. I mean, that's the frustrating part. If we were to say, we need 27 filters and the state delivered them, different conversation. But I don't even know what we need to get yet because I haven't had the thing from them to tell us what we need, and then we can go buy them. I don't know how it's all
going to happen. And then where to buy them and how much they're going to be and how often do they need to be replaced, you still don't have answers to those questions, it sounds like.
Correct, and that's so. If that stuff was provided to us, because there are mandates given to us this is what we have to do to open. If that stuff was given to us, or a large chunk of it was given to us, I would feel much better. But I can't find the wipes.
Right.
Plexiglass is the new toilet paper.
Yes. Wow. So, Chris, let me take another break because I have some more questions for you, and I know that our listeners are anxious to hear more. And there is more to talk about. So just hang with me here. Let me take a break, and we will be back with more coming up next.
The Quinnebaug Valley Senior Center is distributing free coupon books from the Connecticut Department of Agriculture's Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. Each coupon book contains six $3 coupons, which can be used at our local farmers markets. For your free coupon book, come to the touch-free drive-through distribution event Monday, July 27th and Wednesday, July 29th from 9 till noon at the Quinnebaug Valley Senior Center, 69 South Main Street in Brooklyn. For more information, call 860-774-1243.
Don't sweat it. Turn a hot summer spot into a cool comfort zone. Call Saveway Petroleum and ask about the Mitsubishi Electric, America's number one ductless air conditioning. These units are quiet, super energy efficient, and installation is quick and easy. Enjoy direct cooling where you want it while filtering germs and allergens. You can even get combo units with heat pumps for winter comfort. Call Saveway Petroleum today and ask about Mitsubishi Electric, or go to SavewayPetro.com, and if you use oil, get $100 off your first delivery to become an automatic delivery customer.
The Town of Killingly Hazardous Waste Collection Day is this Saturday, July 25th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 79 Westfield Avenue in Danielson. This is for Killingly residents only, with proof of residency required. You can drop off paint, paint thinner, drain cleaners, antifreeze, gasoline, auto body chemicals, pool chemicals, insecticides, and more. For more information, call the Killingly Town Hall at 860-779-5360 for the Killingly Household Hazardous Waste Collection Day this Saturday.
Do you have something to say? Pick up the phone and dial the WINY Talk Show now. 928-1350 is the number to call. Our telephone lines are open. 928-1350.
And we're back on the WINY Talk Show. Joining us on the line this morning, Chris Sanford, head of school for the Woodstock Academy, and Holly Singleton, associate head of school for the Woodstock Academy as well. Thank you again for joining us and answering our questions this morning, Chris and Holly. What are you hearing from the different groups that contribute to the Academy family? What are you hearing from teachers, for instance? What has their reaction or input been as these discussions have been ongoing?
I'll turn that over to Holly.
Well, the same things that we're hearing from all groups. People are personally concerned for their own health, health of their families, worried about, you know, what if we have a COVID incidents in the school. But on the other hand, like I said, they are a very, very professional group, and with the right assurances, they are ready to come in and do what is best for kids. So they obviously have a very difficult situation to be in. You know, professionally, you know, the state plan obligates them to come in, but yet they have to make some decisions based on what is personally best for their personal health as well as the health of their family.
Speaking of staff, are you having to consider expanding your health services at the school as far as school nurses or that sort of person?
Yes and no. I think we have all these plans. We're waiting. So during the school day, no, the number of nurses would be the same as normal based on the requirements the state sent out, because you don't have to take temperatures of anyone anymore. If someone comes into the nurse's office and they have the concerns that it may be COVID, you send them home immediately instead of, you know, housing them and letting them take a nap in the room. So I think the number of nurses during the day is going to remain the same. With the boarding program, that's where we're seeing a significant rise in health care coverage, because we have to have a COVID wing in one of the dorms, like every college and boarding school has to have. So in case someone gets sick, you can't send them home. So there's a whole other dimension to the COVID discussion when you talk about the boarding environment.
So, Chris, on that note, what is your international student situation look like at this point?
Great question. It's a moving target. So we have international students, and we have students coming from the United States, about 30 students that are domestic boarders, and then the rest of them are international. We're really in a holding pattern right now. Students from China can't get visas to come to the United States to study. I know you talked a little bit about that yesterday. with the Attorney General.
Right.
We're in the same category that he spoke about yesterday. And then some students from Vietnam and other places can come, but they maybe don't want to, because even though Connecticut's in a great spot and we've done a phenomenal job fighting COVID, as Holly mentioned, it's still the United States and what that looks like. Plus, then you have to quarantine for 14 days. You know, Dave, and I don't want to go on a tangent a little bit, I apologize, but if you think about it, there's over 40,000 kids that come to Connecticut in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, if you add up all the kids that live in all the colleges and the private schools in Connecticut, 40,000. Do you think the students going to UConn are going to quarantine for 14 days? I mean, visualize what that campus is going to be like. So, and then that is right in our backyard.
Right.
So the fact that our numbers are low now, which are phenomenal, I just can't see, as schools begin to open, colleges begin to open, that we're in the same place in 3 months. And then we, all this work was for naught because we weren't focusing on the right stuff.
Mm. When I ask about health staff, in one of the items in the email, it says participate in the school's COVID testing procedures as appropriate. Will the school be conducting testing?
No. So that comment was in the letter. That letter goes to all of our students. So there are some boarding students based on the guidelines established by Connecticut. Those students have to be randomly tested. 5 to 10% of everyone on campus has to be randomly tested weekly. And then the other piece would be, let's say your daughter, Dave, doesn't feeling well and we send her home. Our expectation is that you bring her to get tested before she can return.
Okay.
So that's that kind of statement is really, we kept it generic because it really gears to two different groups. And although the CEA is requesting, the teachers union, there was a big article they submitted yesterday that there is testing in all the schools weekly. That hasn't happened, and there is no testing for the public school setting or private school setting unless we do it ourselves. Even though that is an advocate, CEA is making that argument that the state should give testing to all the schools, and so the school students and staff are tested weekly.
What the
expectations are for colleges.
Well, yeah, and I assume that the international student situation and the dorm situation, you must be looking at it as the same way UConn and Quinnipiac and any other school in the area is.
Yes. Yep. That portion.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was also an option to opt out for students. Explain that part of the process or that part of the decision-making for us.
Sure, I'll explain what the process looks like, and then Holly can actually say what that means for a student. But
yeah.
So what we're going to – we have – I think I can share. We've had about 40 – excuse me, about 30 families that have opted out, which is about 40 students. Some people have siblings. Mm-hmm. So it's a small number. Basically, that means is, and we have more student, excuse me, more staff, excuse me, more parents that are currently thinking about it, because we received several emails with follow-up questions. If they opt out, they are choosing to learn at home, and Holly can talk a little bit about what that looks like. And then we are following up with a phone call. Either the administrator is going to reach out to the parents, or a guidance counselor will, when we get closer to the opening of school, just to check in, make sure everything's okay. I don't think the whole process is moot because I think we're all going to be home. But if we do come in, that group of students will be learning, opting out from home, and they have to do it quarterly. So if they choose to opt out, they cannot really return to school until the first quarter is over. For planning purposes, you can't just have a random day when all those students that are home show up, because it doesn't work in the schedule because we plan for them not to be there.
Right.
But Holly can talk a little bit about what actually that looks like at home.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Holly, can you share that with us?
Sure. So you know, here's a good example of, you know, where we've just made so many plans that I say that they are not, we haven't been able to focus and make everything the best. So to opt out means that you would just be doing online learning in an asynchronous fashion, which is not the most. It wouldn't be as robust as we were in the spring. So with our numbers, we really can't ask the teachers to teach all things at all the time. So if the majority of our students are returning, our request to the teachers is to teach the students that are in front of them, which means if opting out, the students at home would receive the instruction and the materials they would need to do by posting on our learning system, which we call Canvas.
Right.
We are working on how to utilize the good nature of our student community to have them help us with recording lessons, and also using our peer tutoring program and coming up with some learning buddies within the classroom. So if a student, you know, couldn't come in for whatever reason, that they chose to stay out, and they have a biology class, the goal would be that they would have a learning buddy in there, and that the learning buddy would actually help to record the class, and they could actually help them to participate from home while they're doing some distance learning. But that particular plan is, you know, in nascent level, because I've been walking around the halls trying to figure out how to figure out the flow and printing signs about where masks have to be worn. And, you know, it's kind of like if you ask, in asking us to make so many plans, there's no way a school can make good plans for every situation. So, you know, again, it's frustrating, and it's really not the highest quality that we would want to offer those students. But at the moment, you know, that's what we have.
So, Holly, does the opt-out look different for a student versus a student that has to quarantine for 10 days or 14 days?
Nope, same thing.
Same
thing. So if you are home because you are quarantining, or you are home because you are sick, or you are home because you have opted out for the quarter, that instruction would all look the same.
Chris, let me ask you some pushback that we've heard just generally from parents in particular is, I've gone back to work, or I'm going back to work. I'm not going to be home to monitor my students' learning or to assist my student in their online learning from home. This is going to be a hardship if they don't go back. What would you say to them?
I think the plan that should be developed by the state is something that Rhode Island is looking at, and a variety of other states are looking at, that you get the K through 5 or K through 6 back. And you save the resources by not having the middle school or secondary school in. Because it's just, you know, we all talk about it is health-related decision-making. Totally support that. But the reality is that the financial piece is significant, right? You brought up the financial piece, too, of getting the economy moving again.
Right.
So get the K through 6 kids, K through 5, whatever that number is, back to school. If you eliminate the high school or middle school or just the secondary level, you save a lot of resources. And you could do it right with the things that are required in the state for the elementary school kids. Dave, we can function as a society, and I'm going to talk a little higher level. We can function as a society without a kid knowing how to do Algebra 2. Hey, I took Algebra 2 in high school. I don't think I've ever used it again, right?
We ditto on that, my friend.
We cannot function
wait a second.
In a...
I think I used it the other day when I was doing some math calculations.
Okay, all right, there you go, Holly.
For those math people out there, I did use an algebra too.
But we can't function as a society, Dave, if kids can't read. So I think that, again, back to that original plan that Holly, and the one Holly was just talking about, if we focused on what's the best for kids collectively and get off the plexiglass and the air filters, I think that's where we're going to land, is that there's a plan to get that middle school or the elementary, and then whatever that fifth, sixth grade number is, changes in every district. Then I think that's what's going to, that's my recommendation, and that's where we should fall. And that's how you can solve some of the resource issues, and at the same time, you can make sure that the education continues for the group that needs it the most.
All right, fair enough. I don't want to let you go without asking about athletics. How does this whole plan apply to athletes and the teams that are looking forward to coming back any day now, really? Sports would have started
back.
Up.
Yeah, yeah. They're already back, so we've already have workouts going on. Our plan, no matter what situation we're in or out, we're going to have some form of athletics at the academy. We truly need to do that. So it may just be intramurals that our kids are involved with, and we may say we're doing soccer on Monday and Wednesday, let's say, or some random schedule like that. Because the big part of our program is keeping kids active and doing what they need to do. And if we're not in, then we're going to still do things to keep kids active. Like the spring was really hurtful for a lot of our student athletes, and we're going to make time and effort and figure out a way to make that happen. Again, we haven't had time to do that because we're counting how many toilet seats we need, but maybe, you know, soon if the decisions are made appropriately, we'll spend time on focusing on what athletics look like.
We have just a couple of minutes left here before we have to break for news. Let me ask both of you, what today, on July 22nd, what is your message to the community about going back to school in the fall? What do you want them to know most?
I think the academy is still the academy. We're still going to provide the best education we possibly can, and whether we're in school or out of school. But our number one priority always is students' health and safety. Whether we made a decision to arm campus safety, if you remember a couple years ago, because our number one priority is to keep everyone safe who's on campus. And if we can't do that, it is very difficult for me to put kids in a situation and adults in a situation where they can get injured. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Chris, it sounds to me, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like you have a decision in your head that you might have already made. What's yep. the process? What's the process to move forward?
Holly and I were chatting yesterday. My leadership style, Holly and I are very similar. Our leadership style is we know where we want to go, and I'm sitting in a spot and I can't move from it. Like, I want to move to the right as quick as possible, whatever, or left, you know, pick the direction, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And I can't do it. So as soon as there's an opening, the door cracks or the window opens a little bit, we're going through it. But I also can't do – I'm waiting to see if someone else makes it for us.
Very good. Holly, what about you? You've got two seniors. How are you feeling, and what are you sharing with your contemporary parents from the kids in your class?
You mean you want me to be honest and say I'm crying in the back of my room every day?
Well, I hope you're not, but I understand what brings that around.
Yeah. It's a very – heavy situation. I think that's the best way to describe it. And I guess the going forward, the best thing I can do is, you know, encourage parents to reach out to the school if they have questions or concerns. You know, these decisions to send your student back to school are very personal and complicated, and we are here to help them with making sure they have the right information to make the best educated decision for themselves. So that's really been what I've been doing the last week, is answering emails, having phone calls, having in-person meetings, so that people feel like they are making the best choice for their child.
Very good. Thank you both for spending this time with us this morning. All the important information, and when you have updates, I welcome you back to share them with us. Thank you for the time this morning. Really appreciate it. Good information to share. Let's take a break now for news. Open Forum coming up in the next hour.
1350 AM, WINY Putnam, and 97.1 FM, W246 DN Putnam. Online at winyradio.com. Recruit.